all, like, how many players out there in Patrick second round draft picks would kill to have an opportunity to play a good amount of minutes on the Golden State Warriors? And Patrick McCaw didn't want that. So there's something there that I think is maybe a little bit bigger than basketball, or I don't know if I'm just buying too much into the situation.
And one of the thoughts that I've seen a lot of is he could have been getting bad advice, essentially. And his uncle's his agent. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
I'm interested in maybe, I feel like this organization and the fan base has gotten so just... where this bench, it's so critical. Everybody's like, oh, God, you need to get a better bench. But, I mean, you signed up for this when you signed Kevin Durant and all these all-stars and have a decent bench. And
no, I disagree with that entirely.
Really?
This is the best bench they've had. The problem is the starters haven't been healthy, and two of them, when they are healthy, haven't been playing well. The problem is not Alphonso McKinney and Jonas Jerebko. Those guys have been great. Remember last year? Omri Caspi did nothing, and Nick Young was a goof.
I was excited for those.
And they were a disaster.
Yeah, but I still think that what's the what is your expectation for Alphonso McKinney? What do you want out of him at its peak? I mean, this is a guy that not many others wanted and has done well in the situation he's presented. Same with Jerebko. I don't know. I mean, what are the standard we're holding these guys to? What on a ranking scale of bench units? Where do the Warriors rank? Because I don't think it's that high, and I'm fine with that because you have four all-stars.
Yeah, yeah. You're fine. Sure, of course. And like I just said, it's going to be the all-stars that determine how this thing goes. But, guys on the margins do matter. I'm not saying Pat McCaw matters to the season. And someone texted and said matching the new McCaw deal would have cost the Warriors $11 million because of luxury taxes and passing on it. We know that. No one is saying they should have matched this deal. That's not the question. That's not weird at all. Of course, you're saving money, especially the way McKinney's played. There's no reason to spend twice the contract value to keep Patrick McCaw when you're going to want to, as the texter pointed out, probably going to want to sign a big man in the buyout market if you can. So what's weird is that McCaw very clearly didn't want to be here. And forget the Cavs thing for a second. He seemed willing to sit out a whole season rather than play with the Warriors. And he is not a guy from a future contract value perspective who has the luxury of sitting out a season and still expecting to get paid. So it's a specific and bizarre decision, and that's why I think it's hard to imagine it doesn't reflect something about the locker room or the franchise or whatever. And it may just be that it's a reflection on Pat McCaw.
Yeah,
but it's hard to understand. Let's hear from Bob in San Francisco, who has some McCaw thoughts. What's up?
Hey guys, I love the show.
Thanks.
Who was that Dallas Cowboy guy that never talked to anybody for a whole season? And, he didn't get along with his roommate or his teammates, but he was a really great player and stuff like that. Not that McCaw is. But I'm just saying that kind of stuff happens,
Yeah.
It's like guys that are just wired differently.
But, Bob, there was no indication that McCaw didn't get along with guys until all of a sudden he didn't want to be here this offseason, right? He seemed fine last year.
Do you think that concussion had anything to do with him?
Oof, I wouldn't want to speculate on that, but I do think it seems apparent. Although, even the injury thing, I remember reading stories about how the whole team was in his hospital room making sure he was okay, about how he really felt the response to him being injured, that guys cared. And so the idea that they didn't call him enough in the offseason, so he felt disrespected. It's very weird to me. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I really can't buy it either. I really can't. I mean, we always hear, and it takes place at these media days and things where you hear about how lighthearted the film sessions are and how easygoing Steve Kerr is, and Steph Curry is such an easygoing superstar and so easy to play with, and veterans like D. West and these guys all want to come here and play. I can't buy that there was something that he didn't get along with these team. Unless there's a specific example, unless Draymond's screaming at him and KD and how they get into it, which we never saw. I just can't buy that. I boil it down to bad advice, bigger than basketball. Maybe it's something that I'm maybe weighing a little more.
Yeah.
And then him just wanting a different opportunity, which is shocking and doesn't make much sense to me.
510 texter, Bob from Oakland says, who in the past other than Harrison Barnes has parlayed being on the Doves into big dollars? And I see your point, but first of all, Pat McCaw's nowhere near that. He's not a guy.
He's not Ian Clark money with the Pelicans.
No.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know quite how to respond to that part of it, but in terms of who has parlayed being on the Doves into big money? Well, who's had the opportunity other than Harrison Barnes? He's just Kevin Durant. And it'd be the same thing if Steph Curry. Look, how much people get paid is almost entirely about how good they are, independent of where they've just been. There are not a lot of guys who get paid just because they were on a great team. Mm. Not big money paid.
Yeah.
That's not how the NBA works, really. Mm. You might get a few extra bucks like Trevor Ariza did. You know,
shout out to Nash's boy, Devin Booker.
Yeah, but look, Trevor Ariza has a great season, does some stuff, gets overpaid by Phoenix to hopefully bring culture, and then it doesn't work and he gets traded out of town. But
which is arguably one of the more heads, the fact that he's in Washington now, it's right. Just, I don't know happened there.
The reason no one on the Warriors is parlayed into big money afterwards is because if you have players that deserve big money, more often than not, they stay with the team they started with. So by that rationale, Clay, Draymond, Steph have all parlayed playing for the Warriors into big money. Bazemore is a point from Sean in Sonoma on the text line. That's another one who parlayed playing for the Warriors into much bigger money than he otherwise would
have
gotten.
And he's one of the guys that you can say kind of maybe excelled in a bigger role out of any of the guys that left. I mean, Bazemore is the one example, and excelled is almost putting it lightly because he's playing on the Atlanta Hawks, so... What is he going to do in a Rockets uniform is what I'd more than like to see.
We may find that out sooner than later.
I'd like to see that.
Let's go to Cole in San Francisco for some Patrick McCaw thoughts. What's up, Cole?
Hey, guys. So I have an interesting take because I'm semi-close to the Patrick McCaw side of this story. I have friends who are roommates of his.
Sources.
Or have been roommates of his. And just I'm close to him in terms of I hear a lot about his game through them. And one thing that I don't think a lot of people understand is how big and just massive the egos are up top, even though they're a great foursome up top on the Warriors.
Wait, give names, though. What are these massive? You say massive egos at the top of four. Is that Bob Myers, or is that the four
All-Stars? No, he's talking about the four All-Stars.
No, players-wise. I mean, these guys have huge amounts of gravitas. They're future Hall of Famers. They basically steer the organization the way they want it to go with input from the execs. And I think the one thing that a lot of people don't know is at the last championship, after they were coming home from Cleveland, everyone else was partying on the plane and Patrick McCaw was legitimately sitting in the back, like pouting. And I'm not saying I like that. I'm not saying I'm close to him as if like I favor him. I'm just saying.
Well, why? Like, why is he doing that? There's no explanation to winning a championship and sitting in the back of a plane while the rest of your team is partying.
That's the million-dollar answer. Why is he acting like this? But I think insight into just the way things are going for his team celebrating and he's just in the back pouting, like, I think there's something more to it. No one's reaching out in that scenario. No one's bringing him in and kind of curdling it up under his arm. They're just kind of leaving him out there and he probably felt ostracized. I know I would if my development rested on those guys maybe not playing so many minutes and them kind of having the final say at everything.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Cole, and I think that may be true. My problem is, if that's true, I'm not sure you're going to make it in the NBA, kiddo, because anywhere you go, that's
the
scenario.
Dog world. I mean, it's here in this radio station.
And guess what? On Cleveland, you got Colin Sexton, who's nowhere near as good as the four guys you're talking about in Golden State, and he's still going to be priority number one.
He's handed the keys.
Way ahead of you, dog. Way ahead. You're nothing to them compared to Colin Sexton right now. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And you know how I know? Because they gave you a $6 million deal over 2 years, which, again, we're talking about Ian Clark, Alfonso McKinney money.
Yeah, that's a 12th, 13th guy off the bench.
We're talking about, how much did Quinn Cook get for his two-year deal? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. The Cavs did not just say, oh man, we have a ton of faith in Pat McCaw and we really think he's going to work out, so we're going to really commit to him. That's not what happened.
All right, can I ask you a question, though? Because I think replacing McCaw is a thing that people want to talk about.
You can ask me that question right after we take a short break. That is Tommy Call, 95.7thegame.com contributor. I am Matt Kolsky. And you're right. We've talked enough about what's going on with Pat McCaw. I think moving forward, the question is, what's going on with the Warriors? Is Clay okay? Is everything okay? Emotionally, how are we feeling? Let us know. 888-957-9570, the phone number. Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Matt Kolsky and Tommy Call on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
We are back. I'm Matt Kolsky. He is Tommy Call. Read his work on 95.7thegame.com. Also, real NFL draft expert, so we're going to dive into that. Tommy headed to the Senior Bowl in Mobile,
sir.
Alabama.
Cannot wait.
To scout feet on the ground. Boots on the ground is the phrase I'm looking for, as they say. But we're going to get into some potential Niner solutions, both draft and free agency.
What did you think of the basketball takes? Were you ready for that?
I love your basketball takes,
Thank
Tommy.
You. Thank
the text line loves them, too.
Thank you.
925. I'm not sure it shows the whole picture, but Tommy's remarks about millennials being emotional may still shed light on this case. There you go.
Take it.
Shout
out to my millennials out there.
310, Pat McCaw didn't enjoy the scrutiny and the pressure of ups and downs of playing with the Warriors. If he plays poorly, it's 10 times the amount of flack from media and fans that going more under the radar with a team out of the spotlight.
I think that's a good point.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That might be the thing that makes the most sense to me in a vacuum. But I got to say, watching Pat McCaw over 2 years, I'm surprised he's that guy. I didn't think that's the guy that he was. And I'm still not sure that's the guy he was. A 650 texter, and this is sort of my point. Are we surprised McCaw has this type of mindset? He has to be sent down to the G League. Yeah, he has to be sent down to the G League in an effort to get his game right so he could earn minutes at the NBA level. And to me, that means he's the sort of guy that cares about winning and succeeding and pulling the rope the right direction. So, yeah, it's a little surprising to me. But one last call on McCaw before we move into Warriors at large, and that is Charles in San Jose. What do you got, Charles?
Hey, good morning. Thank you guys for having me. The Patrick McCaw to me is very simple. I think he has people in his corner, in his ear, just like my man from Toronto.
Kawhi.
I think they're giving him bad advice. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard. I think they're giving him bad advice, telling him, hey, you're a starter in this league, and as long as you stay with the Warriors, you're not going to get the payday that you deserve, and you're not going to get the pub that you deserve. And let's be honest. We've sat up here and watched Patrick McCaw play. He's a backup point guard. He's a backup two guard at best.
Yep.
He's not a starter in this league. And so he's getting bad advice from his camp, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Charles, and I'll tell you what else. He's going to find out he's not a starter in this league when he goes to Cleveland, where they don't have good players, and he's not starting.
Calling it easy and comparing it to Kawhi, who is arguably one of the most puzzling situations to happen in NBA recent history, is, and comparing it to that, I mean,
you know what, though?
That is the opposite of easy.
It's the opposite of easy.
Because we might never
know.
We might really never. Yeah, I see the comparison, too, but I'm just saying we might never know what happened with both of them. We're easily to say he's getting bad advice, but who knows?
You're right.
You know, there's how many weird stories did we hear about Kawhi last year?
You're absolutely right. And it's one of these things, man, that I try to say this all the time. And it's true of celebrities, of politicians, of sports figures. As much as you see these guys, you do not know these guys. And even I say this with all due respect, I think Steph Curry seems to be a wonderful person. I've had the pleasure of meeting him and interacting with him on multiple occasions, and everything about him suggests to me he is as wonderful a person as exists in the world. But it is important to remember, I don't know Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I don't know what his true personality is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's really like at all times behind closed doors. And again, I hope he's great. I think he's great, but I don't know. And situations like this Pat McCaw one remind us we don't know these guys.
Do you think from the outside of the Bay Area, this Patrick McCaw situation is looked at as like, this guy can't play with these dudes with egos? Do you think maybe outside of the Bay Area, people are like, I can't stand Steph Curry. That punk is, you know, put dancing on the court, shimming. Draymond Green's a loud mouth. Of course, I wouldn't want to play with those guys either. Do you think that narrative exists?
Draymond a little, but Steph is everyone's favorite player.
Even on the East Coast?
Yes.
Really? I feel like
he's the most popular player in the NBA.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's second? LeBron James. Yeah. They're also both hated.
True.
Right? Plenty of hate out there, and hate is usually loud.
And with LeBron, when he would be this GM in Cleveland, a lot of people would, even here in the Bay Area, would say, oh, no one wants to play with LeBron. You don't want to play with him. You don't want to.
Can I just be totally honest with you about this?
Yeah.
I think they're different people. But in terms of public perception, the biggest difference between LeBron and Steph is Steph is much better at public relations.
Yeah.
The biggest difference.
Yeah. Do you want to dive into that?
No, I think it's very simple.
With the LeBron and the GOAT?
Yeah, the GOAT thing, I don't even care about that, honestly. Frankly, who's the GOAT is a conversation that's not for LeBron to have.
Oh, it's official. The Raiders and 49ers coaching staff will be coaching the Senior Bowl.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
And I think this may be the key point to the outside of the Bay Area question. From a 925, outside of the Bay Area, nobody cares. It's Pat McCaw, nobody cares. No one's talking about it at all. Okay. And I think that's true. I mean, I understand why.
I recorded First Take in hopes.
I understand why it's interesting to us. And I do think it tells you something about this team, potentially. But it's not a big issue for most people. And it's definitely not a big issue for this Warriors team in terms of its title hopes. 650 says you're a homer. People outside of the Bay Area can't stand the Warriors. That includes Curry. You're wrong. He's the most popular player in the NBA. And of course people can't stand him because they get beat by him. But also, more than any other player in the NBA, people love him.
Yeah.
Of course he has haters, people. This is the craziest thing about 2018. Certain things are true. All right? It doesn't matter that he has haters. Everything is not black and white. It's not the best or the worst. Everyone who has haters is not hated. LeBron James, tons of haters. Maybe the most hated guy in the entire league. Also one of the most popular players in the world. So it's not saying Steph Curry is the most popular player in the NBA doesn't mean he doesn't have haters. It means, factually speaking, he has more fans than anyone else in the league.
I think, as evidenced
by jersey sales, as evidenced by all sorts of stuff. He's wildly popular, probably the most popular player since, I don't want to get too far out over my skis, but probably the most popular player since Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but I just think what I'm kind of getting at is if Patrick McCaw stands in front of the media in Cleveland and just says, I couldn't be around those egos. That's it. I feel like across the country, people would be like, I bet. And in the Bay Area, we'd take that as, you know, offensive as you can possibly get.
But around the country, people would say he's talking about KD and Draymond. And
I just think when you talk about those two guys and just the perspective of the team, Steph's included in that. Steph Curry is the most loved athlete in my entire life. He's my favorite athlete more than any football player, anyone. Talking about the GOAT conversation, I was kind of saving this one, but Steph Curry is the greatest player I've ever watched, that I've ever watched in my entire life. But that's a different conversation that we talked about before the show. But I mean, I'm not saying this
Steph
with any.
Steph Curry is the great. You just mean for your team?
No, in my life. So yeah. So I've watched. In how many years has Steph been in the league now?
So you're saying Steph Curry, greater than LeBron James.
But and from my perspective, I've watched the Warriors play 82 games. Let's put a number of 50 on that. Let's put half those games. I've seen things that Steph has done that has been otherworldly that I'll hopefully tell my grandkids about. I haven't watched LeBron at that rate. I've seen things and he's amazing. And
but what you're saying is if you had to start an NBA franchise today,
yeah,
you're taking Steph Curry.
No, I'm taking Anthony Davis.
Okay.
But
if you can't take anyone from Kentucky, who are you taking?
Yeah, probably Steph. Yeah, I mean, why?
Over LeBron.
I feel like that's a different conversation, building a team. I'm talking about, so I think, and let me shed some light on this, that I think that when you watch a guy and you immediately say, so I think anyone under 30 that says Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time they've seen in basketball is lying to a bit because you didn't watch you didn't watch MJ in those moments. Okay. I learned my MJ stories from my dad telling it to me, seeing YouTube clips, which wasn't even available until that long ago.
Right.
And so I don't know where people are watching these games that are under the age of 30 to say Michael Jordan is the GOAT, besides just hearing stories.
No, YouTube. I mean, you can watch most of Michael's career.
But living in the moment, I think, is something, being there watching it. So yeah, Steph Curry has done things that I thought were impossible on the basketball floor. He's brought me so much joy in that sense of watching the game of basketball. So yeah, if I just the greatest player that I've personally watched, maybe not the greatest player of all time, but me personally.
But I think what you're really saying is Steph Curry is your favorite.
Yes.
Not that he's the greatest.
But
because you don't believe that.
No.
You don't believe that Steph Curry is greater than Michael Jordan. You don't believe that. I don't believe you believe that. Believe.
I think it's really tough to say, to be honest with you, because I didn't watch MJ.
Yes, but that's
I've seen the YouTube highlights. I've seen the big dunks. I've seen the teasers on ESPN. I'm excited for the little documentary thing.
Pro tip?
Yeah.
Watch Michael Jordan's 10 greatest layups. Much more impressive than the dunks.
Yeah, and I hope this isn't kind of shedding bad light to my basketball knowledge, but it's
I think you're being reasonable, exceedingly reasonable in one sense, by just saying, I'm not going to tell you about what I have not seen.
Yeah, and I think I've seen LeBron do amazing things, and I feel like we've been blessed to watch a guy like that in my lifetime, that I will definitely tell my kids and grandkids about him, and like my father and grandfather told me stories about MJ and Larry Bird. But I've watched 10 games to one, 10 full Steph Curry games to one LeBron game. So that one game, it's hard for me to just, that part of my brain to just shut off what I've seen from Steph Curry when it's like, this guy is incredible. He's the greatest I've ever seen. Me personally, that might be different than anybody listening to this right now. But I think that I'm just real in that sense that, yeah, what I've watched, the dude is incredible. And I think LeBron is too, and his basketball, what he does.
Got
on
another
the floor,
guy in the Warriors is pretty good too.
Yeah, it's hard. I just love Steph.
It's all good.
let's talk about the KD part of this, because I'm actually interested in what people at large think about I've got a developing KD theory, and I want to, like I have to so often, it's because people don't like to listen. I want to disclaimer this. I think Kevin Durant is unbelievable. He is one of the top 10 basketball players I've ever seen, and it's probably top five. To the 916 texter, Curry is significantly better than Kobe Bryant. Kevin Durant also significantly better than Kobe Bryant, and truly, I think one of the top five players I've seen in my lifetime, a lifetime that includes, to your point, Michael Jordan, who I watched in person at least 40 times.
Yeah, so if you're going to tell me Michael Jordan is better than Steph, clearly, I'm not going to argue with you because you've seen it. I haven't.
He definitely is. But that's not what I'm getting at here. Kevin Durant, to me, is clearly, hands down, inarguably, one of the greatest players of all time. Top 10 in my book, because I don't give a lot of credence to old dudes either. He also, to me, is a perfectly reasonable social media personality. I have no problem with the way he conducts himself. I don't think it's a reflection of him being miserable that he likes to log into Instagram and crack back at people. I also think it's wildly naive by an NBA fan if you don't think 50% of the league also has fake Twitter accounts from which they crack back at haters. That's 100% happening all over basketball right now. I think it's kind of refreshing that Kevin Durant doesn't care if we see the parts of him that are just normal human parts, like the part where he doesn't like people calling him trash and soft and he wants to respond to them. Mm. The parts where he likes Instagram posts like you and me do, even though he's Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody cares when we like Instagram posts, but I guarantee both of us have liked or disliked or retweeted things that we were being maybe a little too telling about our own personal frame of mind.
Yeah.
It's just nobody noticed because we're not Kevin Durant. And I find it refreshing and positive that Kevin Durant has chosen to share of himself with us. I see no evidence that it has impacted or hurt his basketball, because while everyone's saying he's miserable and, oh, look how fragile he is, all he did is win back-to-back finals MVPs and win two titles. Here's the one thing. That's all a disclaimer, because there is this thing among fans that Kevin Durant's not ours, right? Steph's ours. and I'm speaking from a Warrior fan perspective now. Steph's ours, KD's ours, Klay's ours. Even Andre Iguodala, who, by the way, had a whole career before he got here, is one of ours. Kevin Durant is a mercenary. And I understand why fans took that position. I mean, there's obvious reasons. The simple fact is that he wasn't drafted here. He was already one of the greatest players of all time before he ever came here. So I understand why he's not viewed the same way. But what I've begun to think about lately is whether that attitude is not just a fan attitude, which is essentially innocuous, shouldn't have any real effect on the team, but whether the team has a little bit of that attitude as well. Because I think it's clear, like, in my mind, Draymond Green screaming things while angry is kind of like your friend or significant other who gets a little mouthy when they're drunk. Where it's like, I know you wouldn't say this if you were sober. And it's like, Draymond, I know you wouldn't say that if everything was cool and you weren't angry. But aren't you really kind of telling us how you really feel?
Mm.
And I said and continue to believe that one incident with Draymond is not going to make the difference in KD's free agency decision, because he knows who Draymond is and he's been playing with him for years. That's just who Draymond is. But I do wonder if Draymond kind of feels like Durant's this mercenary outsider.
Yeah.
Do other guys also feel that way? And if they do, is that, I don't know, is that a reflection of some of the issues we've seen? Is that some of what accounts for bad vibes at times around this basketball team?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and very well articulated, if I do say. But I also, I don't know. It's just, it is really weird. It's a weird situation. And when you're saying a lot of that stuff, I think of Draymond as a representative of that East Bay vibe, the Bay Area. So I think it might be telling if you think that he believes that. I'm not 100% sure. And I think that it might play into some of the things that we've seen in recently. But yeah, I don't know. I think of Draymond, if you were to rank the four, you know, all-stars of relatability to Bay Area natives, it's hard to not put Draymond at the top, right?
You're saying Draymond is the favorite?
As relatability to Bay Area natives, personality-wise.
This show's filled with Steph Curry slander that I fully don't understand. Isn't that the appeal of Steph Curry?
Yeah, no, I just think the attitude and like the kind of grit and grind that is the East Bay.
First of all, it's the Bay's team, and the Bay is not exactly grit and grind, okay? No offense, people, but I think you realize you're not that the Bay Area is not the national symbol for toughness and grittiness. It's wine and cheese, for God's sakes. It's beautiful mountains. It's surfers and skateboarders. Like, let's chill for a second with the grit and grind. I love Draymond. He's more of a Chicago guy than a Bay Area guy, and a Saginaw guy. That's what he is. He is who he is. He's a Midwestern tough guy, and that's great. And I also identify with that personality type, and I like a guy who barks like that. But let's be serious. The guy everybody loves is Steph Curry, and relatability is a huge part of it.
Mm.
And while that relatability may be more about the way he looks than the way he behaves or talks, because I'll tell you this, very few human beings in the world could forget the athleticism part of it, because no one's that. But if I gave you, and you, Oprah style, gave you all Steph Curry's athleticism, I'm still not sure we'd find somebody as media savvy, as lovable, and as relatable as Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So he's the guy to me.
Okay, but where does that play into the, you know, what we talked about with the Draymond and the KD weirdness? Does that have any weight on the situation?
That's a great question. And I guess we'll find out, right?
Yeah.
I don't think we know, but I continue to believe people know who Draymond is. And so it's easier to write this sort of stuff off when it happens. And it's like, if you got your buddy who sometimes gets drunk and says stuff crazy.
Nash?
I don't know. Let's get Nash drunk and find out. I'm just saying, these guys, know Draymond by now. He's the same dude he's been, other than a significant dip in three-point shooting. He's the same guy, and I don't think anyone is shocked when Draymond flies off the handle. It's like you go, that's Draymond being Draymond. Now, if Curry was flying off the handle, if we heard a locker room report of Curry and Durant getting into it, that would make me much more nervous about the state of things in the locker room. 408 text, Marshawn is Oakland grimy, Kolsky. Give the Bay its proper respect. And then he called me a name. I'm not saying Oakland doesn't have grime. All respect to Oakland. I live in the East Bay. The East Bay is my chosen home, hopefully forever. I love it. Love Oakland. Has a lot in common attitudinally with Chicago. I'm just saying, the Bay Area overall, which is what the Golden State Warriors represent, is not known for grit and grind. I don't think that is a controversial statement. Let's go to Dan in Union City for some Dubs thoughts. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, first time caller. Hey, I don't know you guys or anything, but I was just listening. And who's the dude saying that Steph Curry's the greatest of all time?
He said he's the best player he's seen.
I've watched. I'm not saying he's the best of all time.
He's the best player you've watched.
Yes.
How is that possible? That's your opinion.
That's his opinion.
Yeah. What do you mean? Opinion? So I don't get what the question is. I explained it all. Were you not listening?
No, I was listening. So you're saying that because I didn't watch
Michael Jordan's every game as
he's too young to have seen Jordan, Dan.
And so I don't understand the confusion. I'm not going to lie to you and sit up here like I've seen every Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird game in my life. I haven't done that. And I think it's unreasonable for anyone really under the age of 30 to make the claim that these guys are the best they've ever watched because they didn't see it. I feel like that's not crazy. If you want to tell me Kobe's the best player you've ever watched because you've watched every game of his from a young basketball fan till he retired, I would respect that and I'd understand it. And if you, however old you are, and you want to tell me that Michael Jordan is the best, I'd understand that too because you've watched it where I haven't. I don't understand where's the difficulty in understanding that.
Okay, so but you've seen LeBron play, correct?
I have.
That's where he disagrees, and I'm with you, Dan. I think that is a very questionable position, but I think you'll find more than one Warrior fan holds it.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. I thought that was kind of outrageous.
I think it's less outrageous than some things, but I would tend to agree that given what we've seen over the last 5 or so years in the NBA, really over the last 15, if you're talking about LeBron, you should have seen enough to know, as tremendous as Steph Curry is, LeBron's the greater player. Historically speaking, at the end of the day, LeBron's the greatest of this generation. No shade to Steph Curry, who I love.
And Matt, I think you understand me kind of what I'm saying. Yes. I'm not disrespecting LeBron's game at all. I love watching LeBron play basketball. I think what he did in the 2015 finals was incredible, dragging that team around. What he did in the 2016, incredible. As hurtful as it was to this area, incredible. I love watching the guy play. Like
even
I said,
last year,
I'm going to, yeah.
That team was terrible.
And I'm excited to see what he's hopefully going to do this. I mean, the guy is an absolute, I'm not going to shill here for LeBron. I hope those listening kind of understand where I'm coming from. But growing up in the Bay Area and watching what a guy like Steph Curry, where he took the Warriors from watching him as a rookie to right now, if you watch 30 games a season, 30 Warrior games, and you watch the national televised LeBron games, how many is that, Matt? How many? And you watch
minimum 20 a year.
Okay, so I
in my mind, enough to tell that LeBron's the better player. But then we don't need to bicker. That's your opinion. You're obviously entitled to it. And just quickly, to the people on the text line who are furious with me, I'm sorry. You're going to have to understand the Bay Area is not known for toughness. That's just not the perception of it.
Oh, man.
I don't care. I'm sure you think you're tough. There's plenty of tough people in the Bay. Oakland and Richmond are grimy. I'm not disputing that. But if you think the Bay Area is known around the country for toughness, you're very confused. Hilariously confused, I would argue. Let's go to Kurt in Oakland for some final thoughts on the Warriors. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah, people are worried about the Warriors this year, but they shouldn't. You know, they're doing the old-fashioned Spurs situation where they just kind of lollygag through the before the All-Star break, and they turn it up a notch. You know, that's just how they are. So the one gentleman who wanted to, or not really a gentleman, but the guy who wanted to bash you, one of you, for saying that you like Steph Curry, seen Steph Curry more than LeBron, that guy doesn't understand anything because
thank you.
There's always Kurt, a guy that can jump out of the gym. Huh?
I said thank you, Kurt. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, because Steph Curry, to an extent, and really, he's changed the game.
Yep.
He's literally changed the game.
Yeah,
and you know, LeBron, as great as he is, and he's great, he hasn't really changed the game. He's changed the officiating game, but he hasn't changed the game.
All right, hold on, Kurt. Let me stop you there. There's a couple things I want to say, and you're mostly right. We appreciate the call. Tommy appreciates the support. Same for all the texters who are supporting Tommy. And
shout outs.
Listen, here's a good. There's two good texts on it. Here's one, and this falls in line with what Kurt was just saying. 650, who changed the game? Steph or LeBron? Why is everyone shooting more threes? Okay, couple things. Here's another take, by the way, 310. It's understandably debatable. Steph Curry might not be top five best players of all time, but he is right there with Jordan as top two most entertaining players of all time.
Yeah, and I think entertainment factor is something that's easy to fall in love with.
That's fine. Yeah. I would disagree with that. I find LeBron incredibly entertaining. But let's circle in on the Steph thing. Steph didn't change the game. He didn't. Because there aren't other Steph Currys. Steph is the tip of the spear in an inevitable change to the game. And certainly, Steph's incredible ability and popularity is reflected in kids trying to emulate him and shooting a ton of threes at lower levels. All right. So he had a huge effect on the game. But usually when guys like Steph, LeBron, Jordan really change the game,
Will Chamberlain, I think she's in that conversation.
They usually change the game for the worse. Because what happens is people try to do what they did and doesn't happen. Can't do it. You're not as good as they are. And so, did Steph change the game? Yeah, to a degree, the Warriors changed the game. But also, I think that was a change that was inevitably coming. Because look, end of the day, I've said that way too much today. I just suddenly noticed I've said that way too many times. But fundamentally speaking, the reason the game has changed is because three is greater than two. That's the reason the game has changed. And you can credit Steph with waking people up to that. The fact of the matter is, one type of shot is worth more points than the other type of shot, and that is where the game has changed. Want to weigh in on the Dubs? Perhaps the Steph versus LeBron thing. Maybe.
And you've been teaming me up for these draft talks, and I got a whole little note sheet. I'm fiending over here.
All right, we're getting to draft stuff. I promise we're getting to draft stuff.
I'm fiending.
A couple more Warrior calls on the line, so we'll get to that first. But I'm going to get Tommy to give us the best draft prospects for the San Francisco 49ers. 888-957-9570. If you have thoughts on what the Niners need, Chilton Autobody text line 95795. Matt Kolsky and Tommy Call of 957thegame.com. Draft expert, basketball enthusiast. Hour and 15 to go right after this.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
We're back on 95.7 The Game. Look, folks, I'm the old guy here, so it's the kids are in charge of music. If you're wondering why we're getting like weird millennial froofy trap songs.
Yeah, we love it.
Oh, I don't dislike it. I'm just saying it's a very... There's something... Yeah. We don't have time on this
show.
Turn
it up a little bit if you're in the car right now. Let that beat bang, baby.
Nah. You can turn it off. I like it. You can just turn it off. There is something weird that is probably a conversation for a totally different show that's not on this air about millennials liking a weird particular brand of like froofy was the word I used, and I can't think of a better one. Weird soft stuff. Hashtag not all millennials, James says, and respect to James, who has great musical taste. Nothing wrong with the Juice Worlds of the world, the Lil Uzi Verts and Lil Yachty's, but it is very specific.
Mm, I agree with that. And I like all three of those guys you mentioned.
Yeah.
And I, that's something that's I'm weirdly not super proud of, by the way.
Oh, well, you know what? If I can give you any recommendation as an old guy talking to a young guy, just own your music taste.
Yeah.
You know, it's who you are. There's no reason not to.
The first time I ever recorded with Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky on his podcast, he actually had me on just for music because he thought my taste in music was so bad that he just wanted to talk to somebody about it.
Yeah, well, Joe Shasky thinks that Bay Area rap is the best rap. So I understand I'm going to get the same people who think the Bay Area is known for being tough around the country angry when I say this, but people don't care about your rappers around the rest of the country. Not at all. Not even a little bit. Even Mac Dre. And I'm not saying Mac Dre's not good. I'm just letting you know the world doesn't care. Iris in Santa Rosa. Let's get back to the Warriors before
someone
shows up and shoots me for having a bad Mac Dre take. What's up, Iris?
Hello, guys. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm 36 and I've been a basketball nut when I was little. I remember being 5 years old and my dad watching the Warriors. I think that was, Run TMC days and whatnot, and hitting the ceiling when they did something cool or whatever. So, you know, basketball has been in my family for a long time. And I got to witness Michael Jordan do just these amazing things. Like there was that one series where he had the flu and he still, you know, made that game-winning shot.
Game.
Couldn't even stand up. I mean, Michael Jordan did so much for basketball. As somebody who has seen Kobe and LeBron and Curry, LeBron is absolutely a phenomenal player. Physically, he's probably the best athlete that we've ever seen. But Curry seems to be, he gets grandmas excited for basketball, you know? And so.
My grandma, Nana.
Yeah.
My Nana calls me.
That's the difference.
Yeah. And my Nana literally calls me and says, "How's that little guy I love?" And she's talking about Steph Curry, not my dog or a friend of mine, but Steph Curry. That's what she means when she says, "How's that little guy I love doing?" She's talking about Steph Curry, my Nana. She's turning 95 in February.
He's just that guy that, you know, non-basketball people want their kids to look up to. You know, everything that he does, both on the court and off the court, he's smiling, he's having fun, he's pushing happiness. And LeBron, yes, he is a beast. LeBron probably athletically is the best human being that we've ever seen and we probably will see for a long time. So not to discredit anything that he does or anything that he's doing off the court, but what Curry does is he just gets people excited about basketball again. And that's something that LeBron, to me anyway, he just didn't do. Mike did it time in and time out. Curry is doing it. LeBron is still athletically probably the best human being we will ever see. Athlete, period, but he doesn't mean as much to basketball, I would say, as Jordan did. And his legacy will be awesome, probably a bigger legacy than Curry, but Curry, he's just the one that gets everybody excited. So that's my take on it. Thank you so much, guys.
That's a great call, Iris. And that was the point I was trying to make when the stupid texters were saying Steph Curry's not popular, people hate him everywhere. He's the most popular player in the world because of exactly what Iris is talking about. Because kids who don't care about basketball, nanas who don't care about basketball, people love this guy. Now, Cavs fans hate him and think he's soft and overrated. Lakers fans are probably going to get that take going now as well. Mm-hmm. But that's biased. And I will say I also agree with this texter who says, "I'm pretty sure grannies in Cleveland got excited for LeBron too." And it's not just in Cleveland. LeBron, he did have an incredible impact. He did draw eyes from that weren't usually paying attention to basketball. But I think Iris is right that there's something about Steph. And again, I think it's what we talked about earlier. I think it's relatability that makes him more appealing to a lot of people. And by the way, I would take LeBron. If you're asking me who's the greater player historically, while acknowledging Steph is earlier in his career, and certainly not suggesting it's a ridiculous conversation or stupid to have the argument. I would definitely take LeBron. But if you're just talking about how a person affects a basketball game and the ability to win that game, it's much dumber to suggest you cannot have the conversation than it is to suggest Steph Curry is in that conversation. It's much closer. Steph is much closer to being better than LeBron than he is to being out of the conversation, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. And again, I just think that almost when it talks about greatest ever, we're almost talking about different things here, right? I mean, if you don't understand that, if
that's
you're out
really,
there,
you know, what you're really saying, if I understand you, is you don't have a strong opinion on greatest ever because you haven't seen enough guys.
Yeah. And I think that you think you can say that about every sport in the world,
yep.
You know, I just think that these people who are so that's why people mock Fox Sports 1 and, you know, First Take and stuff, because they give those type of opinions. But hopefully the educated sports fan listening right now can kind of understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything bad about Michael Jordan. I'm not saying anything bad about LeBron James. I'm not going to shill for either of them. But at the same time, I've watched the guy, and I don't think it's all personal interest, right?
No.
To an extent. And you don't have to put facts on anything.
There is personal bias and the failure to turn off your cell phone ringer, but we'll forgive you that. I don't think it's based on personal bias. I really don't. I understand what you're saying, and I think it's reasonable.
I'll admit that. I'm not hiding from the personal bias from it at all. I think that's what makes us good at what we do. I'm not afraid to hide any of that. I see you laughing over there.
I got a great text. I'm a bad person. I should be a big enough person not to read this text, but here it is. Yo, Kolsky, I DJ in clubs nationally, and I'm an on-air personality on a rival station, and I can confirm your views on Bay Area rap. Almost nobody cares about Mac Dre, E-40,
oh,
Too
man.
Short, or
you should
otherwise
not have read that.
On a
you
national level.
That.
They don't even register on the consensus all-time greatest list. Sad, but hard truth, objectively accurate. But don't underestimate the rep of Oakland and the base toughness on a national level. Wine and cheese, but also real G's. Respect to that 707 texter, and a happy New Year's Eve to you as well, sir.
Well, he is a DJ here and rival radio host, so you gotta take him seriously.
He did us the favor of not trying to pub his station. He just wanted to share the fact that nobody cares about your Bay Area rappers. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they're bad.
I can't respond to that.
Not
because
saying
I
they're
just,
bad. I'm yeah. telling you a fact. That's that. You don't have
Man.
To respond. I'm just sharing a fact with you is all. 925. Greatest ever is a matter of preference, because if we went by just pure numbers and accomplishment, Kareem gets the nod over almost anyone ever. I would say Russell. But we're not going by numbers and accomplishments purely. And I don't think that's ever the right way to do it. I don't. The right way to do it is to, in almost every situation, in almost every walk of life, almost any time you're trying to evaluate or understand anything, a good rule of thumb is it's more complicated than that. That's how the world works. Almost anything you're trying to analyze, almost anything you try to break down to simple parts, really it's more complicated than that. Who's the greatest player in NBA history is an incredibly complicated thing to try to answer. If you're asking who has the worst shirt in the studio opposite us, that's easy. I can objectively see Gabe Osler's shirt is hideous and the other guys are wearing normal shirts.
That's the New Year's Eve drip right there. He's going out tonight.
You call it drip. I call it good thing he's starting to take it off. The point, though, is when you're talking about the greatness of a basketball player, there are a lot more variables. It's not as simple as two normal shirts, one hideous shirt. It's good are his teammates? How good is the coaching? What is the situation around the NBA? Is there a curtain we can drop in front of the screen? I know this is an audio medium, but we've got producers taking shirts off, and
they're real excited for me. I feel like it's for me.
Congratulations. Yeah. You're listening to
That's
95.
How we show love around here.
That is Tommy Call, 95.7 thegame.com contributor, draft expert, And we're going to get to the NFL draft in just a second. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors, who we've been talking about an awful lot here. And unfortunately, it's time to move on because, as I said, I've got a draft expert sitting next to me. You'll get plenty more Warriors this afternoon. I saw Ray Ratto out there. Who will be partnering with Mr. Ratto from noon to four? The Richard Tittle. The one and only, with Ray Ratto. Ratto and Tittle, Tittle and Ratto. I got to workshop a good name for that. Rick and Ray. Rick and Ray from noon to four. I did my workshop on air. I don't think that is a good suggestion, whoever just said that in my ear. Ray Ratto and Rick Tittle take over 1 hour from now. Several more hours from then, Warrior basketball. I believe it's a 6 o'clock tip in Phoenix tonight, if you're interested in watching or listening to the Warriors. Absolutely.
Got to get our guys out early a little bit so they can celebrate tonight. The 6 o'clock tip was specifically for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally, so that everyone can party in Phoenix. Great news. Warriors don't play again until Thursday.
I was talking about the producers here.
Forget the producers here. Warriors don't play again until Thursday. Tie one on in Phoenix tonight, fellas. Let loose. You know what I mean? Phoenix, great place to have New Year's Eve, I've heard. I haven't really heard that. I do, though, before we run out of time, we're going to be talking to Austin Gale, who, of course, is as in-depth a football expert.
Who will be in Mobile, Alabama as well.
All right, so let's enough of you and Austin partying in Mobile. Let's focus on the football side of it. Austin coming up about 15 minutes from now. But before we get to that, I want to hear about the top of the draft from you because we know where the Niners pick now. It's number two. Let's start with this. Are you convinced Nick Bosa is the best player available and that he will be taken number one?
Yes, on the best player available, taken number one, I'm not. No, I do not know that. I don't. I think the Arizona Cardinals getting the first overall pick makes it interesting, at least. It gives some chance.